Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 to 5. It says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." And as children of God, that we're reminded that we've been adopted. That we're no longer under the law, but under grace. And there's joy in that. Knowing that we're no longer under the law. The law revealed that we need a redeemer and that we need a savior. But the gospel, as we're going to read Luke chapter 2, verse 1 to 20. He says, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered." Can you imagine? Each tribe had to go to their hometown. Can you imagine how all these people were traveling? Like if you were living across Canada and you're like, "Yeah, I got to go back to Black Falls." And you got to travel all the way there. And now you think about how if you were pregnant. The woman men can't be pregnant. So, you know, so the women would be like, "I can't believe I have to wear ride on a donkey or the most uncomfortable vehicle to get back to my hometown while I'm 9 months pregnant." That would be all most uncomfortable time. But they all did this. They all had to go back to their own city. Verse 3. Joseph also went up. Thanks, Eric. "Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David." There's a promise where the Messiah was going to come out of the lineage of David. Mary and Joseph were the lineage of David. The Messiah came out of the lineage of David. "To be registered with Mary and his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her first son and wrapped him in a swaddling cloth." Swaddling clothes are burial clothes. Whenever people went on a long travel in those days, they always had burial clothes with them. The swaddling clothes that Jesus was wrapped up was burial clothes, foreshadowing that one day he will die for mankind. Like swaddling clothes, it's huge. When you know what that means, it was their burial clothes that he was wrapped up in, representing that he will die. "And laid in his manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds living outside in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they greatly afraid." Could you imagine? An angel shone, and they were afraid. I think if an angel came here right now, there's probably angels around here right now. If we actually seen it, I bet you not one of us would drop to our knees and hide our faces. If God was physically came here, and when we come to before God, we would not just go be all, you know, relaxed. We would just fall to our faces because of his holy presence. Our posture would be different. They were afraid. And what was the angel said to them? "For there's For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." So it was with the angel had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds also said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see the thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe laying in the manger. And now they had seen him, they made widely known saying which was told him concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. That's just, you can't imagine it unless you were there. We think of it, we try to imagine that. It'd be kind of hard to imagine. But here are these shepherds in the wilderness, in darkness. And next thing is this bright light. And then they hear. And a lot of times the angel said, "Do not fear. Do not fear. Good news is coming." You know, in verse 10 it says the good news. Can you turn to verse 10? Luke 2, verse 10. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good tidings." What is the good tidings? The gospel. The gospel is the good news. It says, go and tell people. Bless you, John. Yes, here. He was telling the gospel-centered message. We sung it today. Go and tell over the mountains and everywhere. That's like the Great Commission for the believers. We're supposed to go and tell the good news of Jesus Christ, especially this time of year. The good news. What is the good news? Why is there joy and happiness? And why do we put up lights? Why do we give presents? God gave us the best gift ever. And that was a Savior, a Redeemer. One that came here to save us from our sins, to reconcile us back to the Father. He's given us the gift of eternal life with Him. That's the good news. That we're no longer under the law. When you become a child of God, you're no longer under the law. Before you were saved, you're under the law. And that's why the law convicts us of sin. It reveals our depravity, how much we need a Savior, a Redeemer, like how awful we are without Christ. It convicts us. It says, you know what? You are no good. You're not good at all. You need a Redeemer. No matter how good you think you are, without Christ, you're nothing. And when we receive Christ, we're like, "Lord, I thank you for you saving me from the pit of hell. I thank you, Lord, that you redeemed me, that you saved me, that the sin that I was so engulfed in." You think about the manger. I can remember when we used to calve animals. We were December, we started calving season. And then the barn was not me. And the smell. Because you got like, we had 50 head in there, and they're calving. The smell. you smell the straw with all the manure and you know, it's just the smell and the moisture. Here's Christ born in a barn, and it was not a clean place. It wasn't like the Hilton or whatever, the nine-star place, right? It was the lowest place he could actually be born in. So he got down into the muck. A holy, righteous God was born in a manger with cattle, the smell. Think about that. Before we were in Christ, we were in the muck, swimming in sin, swimming in our ugliness. And Christ came and delivered us from that. When we bend our knee to him, he delivers us from sin. And here he is. Do we not want to tell about Christ? And I know people don't want to hear about Christ because it's heartbreaking. Think of my family last night. We were at supper. They did everything to take Christ out of the picture. They don't want anything to know about Christ. It's really sad. They don't want nothing to do with Christ. But yet they celebrate Christmas. And it's just like to be praying for them. For us, be praying for our lost family members that they need Christ. They need a Savior, even though they don't recognize that they do. You know, the New Testament is about the good news of Jesus Christ. The first Christmas sermon was the gospel of the message. It's a message of salvation in Luke 2. The gospel is the good news about God who has done to save sinners through Jesus Christ. This message is all about Jesus, how he's the Savior, the Anointed One, he's the Lord, that Christ is the gospel. If we do proclaim the law, because if you look at the law, it convicts us. It shows the depravity of man. And if we didn't hear the gospel, we'd still be convicted under the law. The good news is sharing the gospel during this Christmas time. That's the good news. People need Jesus. They need a Redeemer. They need a Savior. Because, well, without him, they go to hell. Like, that really breaks my heart. I see so many family members that don't know Christ. And you think about that. It's like, Lord, I pray for the salvation. Lord, open up their eyes so they see the truth. You know, everybody's seeking God without them knowing. You don't know it. Christ draws us to himself. First time I came to a church that was actually this church. And I remember it was at Christmas time. I knew there was a God, but I didn't know because I was under the Catholic Church, all my life. And you come here and I was like, I knew there was a God, but I didn't know that you need a relationship with him. And so I came here and I was like, oh, I had a few drinks. I was like, oh, whatever. But then you came here and I was like, this is what I was missing, because I heard the good news. I heard the gospel for the first time. I heard of hope. I heard of how Jesus came and he actually saved. He saved. He will save anybody who bend their knee to him. And I think about that. How many people are seeking them, but they don't want to actually repent or recognize that they need a Redeemer, a Savior, or even to be saved. Some people don't know, what do I need to be saved from? Romans 3 says we all have fallen short of the glory of God. We all have sinned. You know, the angel didn't just bring a message which might produce a little lift or temporary warm feeling, which would quickly fade away. But the angel brought a message that would produce great hope. Because those shepherds heard the message. They got up immediately and checked out the good news. They didn't ponder, they didn't sit there. When they heard the But they got up and ran to it. When we hear the good news, what does it do in our own hearts? Do we sit there and ponder it? Or does it drive us to get up and tell the people the good news? Does it cause us to start praying for those people? When we hear the good news, do we just hear the good news and not do anything about it? Or do we become doers of God's word? How does the good news move in our life? We see the shepherds, they got up and ran to see what the angel had said. They seen what they said was true. They went out and told everybody what they had seen, what they heard. The good news. Something that we don't keep to ourselves. If it's such good news, why don't we share it? If it's fear, and say, Lord, forgive me for having fear in my heart. Lord, forgive me for doubting maybe your word. And Lord, I pray that for my family members, that you give them a heart to hear your word. Does it drive us to prayer? Prayer should be that's why both the prayer and fasting, in there I have the praying and fasting for loved ones. Because it's a spiritual bondage. Their eyes are blinded because they're under Satan's hold. And if we are praying and fasting for them, God hears those prayers. Prayer and fasting mentioned 38 times at least in the Bible. Even in Acts, talks about how they prayed and fasted before they even went out. They prayed and fasted. It's not if we're going to pray and fast, it's that. When are we going to pray and fast? What a bad time of season to talk about prayer and fasting. It's like, because we're going to be eating all beautiful food and chocolates and whatever else. But think about how prayer and fasting would drive us to our knees. And do we have that desire to see family members set free? You know, that in the gospel produces joy in our lives. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. We sung that. Has the preaching of the gospel ever filled you with joy? Yes. And I pray that it will be filled and refilled every day in your lives as you hear the sound of the joyful noise of this. The gospel. The message of the gospel will never fill someone with great joy unless they first realize their desperate need. We're there. We didn't know that you need to be saved until you start hearing the gospel and the Holy Spirit's drawing you to himself and you're like, this is what I need. I need the good news. Have you ever known that you are guilty, condemned? Because before hearing the good news, I thought I was a good person. That I was saved because of baptism. Catholic Church says if you are baptized as an infant, you're saved. So I thought I was a good person. But when you start hearing the good news that you're not a good person, that you need a redeemer, your whole world changes. Even the world today, you look at people do good deeds, thinking that it earns them points with God, but it doesn't. God looks at that and says, that's nothing. If I see you have received Christ, I will see that, and you've done, and that's all that needs to be done, is you to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's not by works that you're saved. It's through faith in Christ. Now, if you're not in Christ, you're in danger of perishing, and you can't save yourself. People says universalism, that there's many ways to God, but there's through faith in Christ, he's the only way. Acts 4:12, John 3:16, 17. Only through Christ that we could be saved. Someone from the outside is going to have mercy on you. Think about the mercy that God showed us. Before you became a believer, think of the mercy that God was revealing to you. His grace, how he's drawn us to himself. It's not that we were seeking a holy, righteous God. We were not. Because we were fine in our sin. We were fine in our lives. It's the Holy Spirit that draws us to him. And then we recognize that we need a Savior. Do we really believe what the Bible says about you? Not all the time. But who are we in Christ? If you're a born-again believer, who are you in Christ today? A child of God. You're his bride. You're no longer a sinner. If you think that you're a sinner, you look at yourself like you need to... We do sin, but we're no longer sinners. We're a child of God. Because if I was still a sinner, that means I'm not a child of God. We do sin, but we confess our sins. We get right with the Father. How do I see myself? Do I see myself redeemed? Because if you say you're a sinner, then you're not redeemed. If I've been redeemed, then I know I'm a child of God. My perspective of who I am in right relationship with Christ, and if I'm a child of God, then my life is different. I walk differently, I talk differently, I live differently. I desire to share the gospel with people that don't know him. A sinner will not. As a child of God, we do sin, but we get right with God when we confess our sins. There's a difference. You know, once your eyes are open, you really see the truth. And that's when we come to Christ. Our eyes are open to see the truth. You turn in faith to Christ and drink deeply of the gospel, and it will be joyful producing in your life. It's not all roses when we come to Christ. We have challenges in our life. But in those challenges, we get to know who Christ is. In those challenges, we grow deeply with Christ. We know that we are not doing this on our own strength, but he's helping us and enabling us to live this life. The word Christ is the Greek version word Messiah, which means anointed one. Jesus is Christ, the Messiah, who has come as the anointed one. He is the prophet to speak God's words to us. He's God incarnated, holy, righteous God. He took on flesh so he could reveal himself to us, to walk with us. He is our priest to offer himself up as our atoning sacrifice for sin. He is our King to wisely and graciously rule over us. Is he graciously in ruling over your life today? I know at times we are disobedient, aren't we? It's like, Lord, forgive me for being disobedient. Because I'm a little sheep that goes astray at times. He is the one that all the scriptures point out. He is the seed of the woman who would crush the serpent's head. He is the seed of Abraham through whom all families of earth will be blessed. He is the son of David who will reign over his throne forever. He is the son of the virgin who will be called Emmanuel, God with us. He's a priest after the order of Melchizedek, priesthood of righteousness. He is the mysterious man who wrestles with Jacob. He is the fairest of 10,000. He's the lily of the valley. He's the brightest in the morning star. He's a friend that sticks closer to than a brother. He's the son of righteousness. He is the branch which grafts us in. He's a wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He's a servant. Jesus is the fulfillment of God's prophecies that angels was announcing. He is here. This is what Christmas is all about. He is here. But let's not forget, he's returning. The word Lord means he is God. He's the master over all. He's the Lord God Jehovah, the true. Jesus came into the world as a helpless infant, but at the same time, he was the Lord of glory. Can you imagine that? He's the God of glory. There's a hymn called Meekness and Majesty. And Graham Kendrick wrote this. It says, the meekness and majesty. Meekness and majesty. I'm not going to sing it because I'm not a good singer. Meekness and majesty, manhood and deity. In perfect harmony, the man who is God, Lord of eternity, dwells in humanity, kneels in humanity, and washes our feet. Father's purest radiance, perfect of innocence, yet learns obedience to the death on the cross, suffers to give us life, conquering through sacrifice. As they crucify, Jesus says, Father, forgive them. That's who we celebrate during Christmas. Not Santa Claus. Not the Virgin Mary. If we worship the risen Lord, that's why we celebrate Christmas. It's a mystery. You know, when the shepherds first heard the message, they would have understood it, as well as all the people of Israel, because their prophets saying this day in Isaiah 9 talks about that. They would know the Old Testament. They would know that the Messiah was coming, that the Messiah was coming from the lineage of David. They know their Torah. They knew the Word of God. So when they were hearing this, they were recognizing what they have learned and say, this is, remember the prophets talking about this. And wouldn't that stir you up? However, over time, God's light broke through in revealing the Savior. Think of the darkness that these shepherds were in the field. And the light broke through, revealing the Word of God being fulfilled. That a Savior has come, a Redeemer is here. the gospel's good news and great news for all people, not the ones who we choose to share it with. It's to whosoever. Share the good news with anybody that's willing or ask you to share it. Why do you have hope? Why do you have hope and joy over Christmas? So I'm celebrating my Savior. He wasn't born on this specific day because we don't know the date that he was born on. We know it was in the fall. But we celebrate him. We worship him. We honor him with our lives. Jesus is a suitable Savior for all people. What Jesus did perfectly fits their situation and need. He perfectly fits our situation and our needs that we need a Redeemer. He died for sins. All sin deserves death. He died. He paid the penalty that all sinners deserve. All people on the planet are sinners deserving death. While Jesus came into the world, he died as a payment for sin. What Jesus did is suitable to the desperate problem of sinners. And that's to reconcile us back to the Father. Why should we make a choice of who we offer to Christ? We shouldn't. Sometimes it's easier to share the good news with people that don't know you. So true. Because other people know who you are. But they should see the difference. It's like how your life was transformed. God has commanded his people to share the gospel to all people, regardless of sex, age, or race. We are called to offer, invite, we're commanded to share. And to share with them that they need to repent and put their faith and trust in Christ for eternal salvation. When it says, "For there was born for you a Savior," who was this angel speaking to? Shepherds. Do you think a shepherd was a very highly sought after profession? It was like the lowest of low jobs. You look in society, it's like, think of the lowest job that we have in society right now. Imagine if that person in our society, whatever you look at, let's say a person is a janitor, comes and tells you the good news. Would you be more listening to him or somebody who was like a doctor? But yet, who was the first person that the angel went to? The shepherds. The lowest of low. Shepherds were social outcasts. Shepherds were the lowest rung in the social ladder. Shepherds were considered ceremonially unclean, because they were constantly coming in contact with unclean animals and carcasses of animals. Shepherds could not attend worship at a temple. Shepherds were considered to be dishonest and were not permitted to give their testimony in court of law. Do you find it a little odd that when God, that when he wanted to announce something, especially when Jesus was born, he went to the outcast to do it? Think of it. We all were outcasts. He's revealing it to people who have a heart for desire to know God. He's wanting to use us to share the good news. No matter what your stature, no matter your profession, it doesn't matter what your profession is, no matter what your stature in society is, is my heart, is it for the Lord? If it is, then He wants to use you to share the truth of the gospel to a dying, lost world. You didn't go to the wise people. So why wouldn't God want to go to the Sanhedrin, like to the temple, to announce it to the priests? But the truth of the Messiah. You know, God delights to hide these truths from wise and intelligent people. Because sometimes the very intelligent people are the hardest ones to reach. Because they think they know it all. They become very proudful. And when we become very proud, we think we know it all when we don't know it all. It's like, Lord, humble me. Because I don't know it all. Lord, let me walk in meekness. Lord, I'm nothing without you. You know, Jesus, he walked in meekness and humbleness. He taught, he shared the gospel to the whosoever. He chose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom. No one is so poor, sinful, or rejected that God's grace cannot reach them and transform their lives. Think of how God has transformed your life. All our lives have been transformed because of our Christ. That's a testimony of what God is doing in people's lives. You look at the lineage of David, right? David was an adulterer, a killer. You look through Solomon, you look through the lineage, even of all those people. They weren't the greatest people. But God chose the lineage of David where the King of Kings would be born out of. Think of how God is working in your life today and how He's transforming us to surrender to Him, to grow with Him. And the devil comes along and says, you're not good enough. We're not. But God, Christ, as makes us good and righteous and holy. Without Christ, we're nothing. When we realize it's Christ that makes us righteous, when Satan comes along and says, you're not good enough, you say, yes, I know, but Christ makes me good enough. He makes me holy and righteous. He makes me be right standing with the Heavenly Father. I am saved not on my own merit, because of Christ. I'm saved because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross, that He rose again on the third day. Satan will come and beat you down. But we choose to believe him or believe what the gospel says. Who you are in Christ. You're a child of God. That you've been redeemed for a purpose and a plan. How long do you respond? How will we respond to the gospel? I hope this Christmas that we remember why we're celebrating Christmas. It's not about the tree. It's not about the gifts under the tree. But we're celebrating who Christ is. Who Christ is in your life. He wants you to follow him. To yield our knees to him. He wants us to bring the good news during Christmas. Great joy this Christmas season. Why are we joyous? It's all that he has done, still is doing in my life. Rejoice in that and tell everyone you can about him. He's given us the perfect gift. Lord, I thank you that you are the one that we desire to celebrate every day, not just at Christmas. Lord, I pray that through this time of sometimes it's dreary, heavy, because of lost family members, the past, or just, or that we, I don't know, Lord, whatever the heaviness that's on our hearts today, Lord, I pray that we surrender the heaviness on our hearts. Lord, we give this heaviness to you, this burden to you. Lord, we desire to take on your yoke. And Lord, as we celebrate you, Lord, let there be joy in our hearts. Let it start overflowing in our hearts. And Lord, I pray for our family members. But just even before we go to places, I pray, Lord, that you show us how to pray. And Lord, that you would be invited in every place that we would go. And that, Lord, that you'd be turning hearts to yourself, that you'd be softening hearts. And the Lord, that we would not be afraid of what to say or anything, but Lord, that we would simply say, Lord, have your way in this situation. Lord, that you be exalted, that you be lifted up high. We pray for our family members, Father, that we're going to be visiting during Christmas. Lord, that you would soften their hearts. You would humble them, that Father, that they would see how you have transformed our lives. And Lord, let that be a testimony unto you. Lord, that they would see you in us. And even more, that we'd not be afraid of sharing or disqualify us. Lord, you came first to the shepherds, the lowest of low. Lord, I pray that we would not discount ourselves, but Lord, we just say, Lord, here I am. Use me for your glory and for your purpose for this day. Lord, I pray that we have a willing heart to share the truth of the gospel. And Lord, as we share, Lord, let us be have an expectation of hearts being softened and hardness being broken. And Lord, that their eyes be opened up to the truth of the gospel. And I thank you, Lord Jesus.